the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to go enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for anyone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." The Gospel of our Lord.
So before we hear from Betty, let me just kind of set the stage here vis-a-vis the gospel that she just shared with us. One of the challenges that I try to lay at your feet on a regular basis is the manner in which we hear these stories. And I'll just put it to you this way. Rather than read these stories and hear these stories with the eyes of empire, in other words, oh, you know, we're the best, and oh, we're the biggest, and oh, Jesus is going to conquer the world, you know, empire. These stories were never written to be heard in that way. And so the challenge is, on a regular basis, rather than reading and hearing these stories with the eyes of empire, to read the empire through the eyes of Jesus. So we just flip it on its head, which is a challenge because we're so used to doing it the other way around. And I'll just make this point, and then we'll have Betty come on up, is that nowhere in this story is this guy identified as rich. Nowhere. He's just a guy like us. Betty, you're up. And your family's here, so yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Well, good morning, y'all. Standing up here without my gospel book makes me plenty nervous and uncomfortable. However, once again, it is my own fault, and I frequently find myself in situations I had not intended in the beginning. Recently, I mentioned to Father Jeff how very happy I have been at St. Peter's, and if he would be willing to express my appreciation to the congregation for me. Big mistake. He answered, "No, you're going to tell them." Of course, my reaction was, no, I do not do speeches. I cannot do this. I lost the brief debate. So thank you, all of y'all, for the abundance of love, hugs, support since my arrival at St. Peter's 7 wonderful years ago. Who am I? I was born in Central Florida 86 years ago to a hard-working truck and produce farmer, living without electricity or indoor plumbing until I was 16 years old. Our family began each day by feeding the chickens, the pigs, the horses, and milking the cows off to school and back home for afternoon chores. We rode the bus a 90-minute trip twice each day. We were the first to be picked up and the last to get off. This allowed us very little time for play. In junior high school, my English teacher befriended me, making it possible for me to stay after school. She had no children of her own, so she took time out of her day, affording me the opportunity to participate in the after-school sports and activities. She would take me home every day. She was interested in every part of my life and that of my family. She was encouraging and saw my potential. She talked to me about higher education, which was unheard of in my family. She even secured a scholarship should I pursue a higher education. I loved school, but had no idea what I really wanted to do with my life. I spent a lot of my time taking care of the farm animals, so considered being a vet, but not acceptable being a woman. Medicine continued to pop up. Nursing? I was so happy when I was accepted into the School of Nursing in Orlando, affordable and close to home. Answered prayers. Surgery was my love, and I had been promised a job in our surgery center after graduation. 2 days before I was to start, the director of nurses asked me to help her by going to OB until she could hire an OB nurse. OB, for y'all that don't know, is obstetrics, delivering babies, watching them in labor. Of course, I liked OB, and there was surgery to look forward to. 2 years later, I was still delivering babies. Time to look for another hospital. I wrote letters inquiring about positions in Nevada, both one to Winnemucca and one to Steptoe Valley in Ely. I had never known anything about Nevada, but I was curious. The director of nurses from Steptoe Valley called me and offered me the job and anyone else that I could recruit. Believe it or not, there were two nurses already on her staff who had been surgery nurses at my hospital when I was an eager student on my surgery rotation 4 years before. For the record, we ended up with 5 nurses out of 14 who had worked with me in Orlando. We had a great staff, excellent care, and my God, we had fun. Answered prayers. What about my spiritual life? I had been raised a hard shell Baptist, What is to be will be. Pearly gates above and fire below. I could not wrap my head or heart around any of this, and I needed help. I had gotten married and had 3 children to raise. I had been invited to attend the Episcopal Church, but had not accepted based on the assumption that we would not fit in. They were all well-to-do. They wore hats, gloves, and were so busy, too busy for my world. But after a few visits to other churches, I gave in one Sunday and took my children to St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Ely, Nevada. Everyone was so kind, so welcoming, and so wonderful. And the priest arrived at my home the next day, just as my children were getting home from school. He was so kind, he visited with the children, and we all had found the missing link we needed in our lives. For 55-plus years, St. Bartholomew's was my other home, volunteering wherever needed. I sang in the choir, served on the altar guild, and several subcommittees in trying to keep St. Bart's viable. You see, the Depression hit, and Kennecott Copper closed their doors. Our community was getting smaller. Long-term friends closing up their homes and moving. Personally, I experienced my husband, Big Val, being diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis that was debilitating to the point he had to medically retire at a very young age. In addition, my son, Brahmi, died at age 19. Needless to say, my world was dark, and I found my hope and strength through my faith. Remember, my biological family support system continued to live in the South. In 1997, a gifts workshop identified me as a person of interest in the Canon 9 process. The bishop encouraged my acceptance, and in year 2000, I was ordained as deacon along with Richard Sims as a priest. Answer to prayers. Richard and I were a team. We served together for the next 12 years. One or both were present and available for the people of Ely in many small rural communities in eastern Nevada. We knew no boundaries. The ranches, Eureka, it didn't matter. Someone needed us, we were there. This experience of spiritual care blessed me in ways that cannot be described. When my husband, Big Val, died in 2005, my children started encouraging my relocation to Carson City, where they both lived. I could not ever see myself leaving my home, this community that surrounded me with a love and support throughout many life adversities. I was conflicted. I was convicted too. I was conflicted. I knew I should go, but I didn't want to. I could navigate my world, and I was needed. I promised my children that I would think about this major decision. I was stubborn. No one was going to pressure me into anything. I had my home, a spiritual family, I had friends, a big garden, everything I could possibly need or want, except my children. Conflicted. I made the decision to attend a family reunion in Florida in April of 2010. Good time to travel as the severe winter was over. You see, the sub-zero temps caused hardship on me in the winter. I had to get up every hour to run the water to prevent the pipes from freezing. Not this year. I returned home to broken pipes and my home flooded. Upon evaluating the damage, it was identified that the wiring was substandard, and I was lucky there had not been a fire. Thank you, Lord. But now, I not only was faced with major changes, my children stepped in and said it was time. They offered three suggestions. One, rebuild a home on a 3-acre farm. Number two, sell and move a new home in Ely. Third, sell and move to Carson. I was so conflicted and afraid. The stress was immense, and I knew a change was inevitable. I feared change, and yet God was intervening in my life to help guide me. I think in retrospect, it was a bit extreme. But as you have all experienced, I have a stubbornness and determination, especially when I think I'm right. There was no choice. I wanted to be with my children. Things fell into place. I found the perfect home with a garage that was attached to my home. The farm sold to a family that was my adopted family. Answered prayers. I had been attending St. Peter's since my daughter moved to Carson City in 1986. St. Peter's has always been my second church home. Father Jeff welcomed me with open arms. I think it took all of about 1 week before I was being called. I wasn't sure what was going on and did not want to step on any toes. My children cautioned me about getting too involved, as I have a problem saying no. If there is a need, I'm going to fill it. St. Peter's, Father Jeff, y'all accepted me as though I had always been a part of your community. The joy of my friends in Ely supporting my relocation and making a point to visit me in Carson, and now welcoming and how welcoming St. Peter's has been, giving me a church home and providing an opportunity to continue to serve others. There are no words that can express my gratitude enough. Throughout my life, God has provided me with opportunities that were unheard of in my family. Every step of my life has been guided by God. Every hardship brought me closer in faith. God has been my strength even when I was challenged with life's adversities. It has not been easy accepting my age process and letting go of my independence. I struggle with not wanting to be a burden on anyone. But once again, God has answered my prayers. So many of you, way too many to mention by name, have stepped up to help me and my children, shuttling me back and forth to church or doctor's appointments, visiting, calling when I was shut in. Like the list of names, the way you fulfilled me are in ways too many to list today. But no, even in my memory loss, I remember. Answered prayers. You see, God brought me home to my children and to all of y'all. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the gifts you have provided me and my family here at St. Peter's. I could not love you more. And thank you.
I can't believe it's been seven. I keep thinking it's only been like 3 years or something. I don't know how that's working. 7 years, you said. Yeah. I think it was in 1996 was my first visit out to Ely shortly after moving here. My younger son, Danny, and I went out. I can't even remember why. We stayed with Betty and Big Val and just had a ball hanging out in the town, exploring the hills and whatnot, and then we would look for excuses to go back to Ely, and we came out for Betty's ordination, hung out with folks in the parish, and we fell in love with the people of St. Bart's. I'm going to cry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're always looking for excuses to go to Ely. And we fell in love with Ely as well. And so when Betty moved here, what she didn't tell you was that she came to St. Peter's every Sunday shortly after moving and wept like a baby for a year. And having had the opportunity to get to know the people of St. Bartholomew's and getting to know Ely, I understood why. I mean, I got that and how hard it would have been to come here. But again, like she said, you folks welcomed her with open arms, and she has been such a gift to this congregation. So, Betty, thank you. Yeah. So, today's story in the gospel, this guy who comes and says, hey, I'm doing all this good stuff, I'm doing all the right stuff, but how do I inherit eternal life? And again, the translations leave a lot to be desired. If you look at the Greek in this story in Mark's Gospel, what he's really asking is, how do I participate in the kingdom? He's not talking about dying and going to heaven. He's talking about experience the presence of God on the ground in real time in this life. That's his question. And Jesus is listening. They're having this conversation about the commandments and says, oh, well, okay, if something's missing, then give away all your stuff and come follow me. And the young guy gets all bummed and off he goes. And, of course, we use this as an opportunity to get everyone we can get our hands on to feel guilty because you're not doing enough or you're not giving enough or you're not whatever or you're not enough. And I'm here to tell you that's not the heart of the gospel and it's not the point of this story. All Jesus is doing is saying, okay, since you're asking the question, how do I participate in the kingdom, in God's presence, in real time on the earth? Apparently something's missing, or something is in the way. So, all you got to do is recognize what it is that's in the way and let it go, right? And so imagine all of the things. I mean, we have stuff. Sometimes our stuff gets in the way. Sometimes those comments about how hard it is for the wealthy, well, all Jesus is doing is recognizing that what wealth does for us is confer status and power. And when you and I have status and power, we're the ones that decide how to move through the world and how to get things done, right? Because we can. And sometimes that stuff can get in our way. And so, again, the invitation, let it go. You know, all the elements of our life that confer status and power, just let them go. Does that mean we have to sell all our stuff? It better not. I'm not getting rid of my music collection. it's very important to me. Again, money, property, prestige, whatever it is that's tripping us up, is an opportunity to let that stuff go. And speaking of what I mentioned earlier, rather than reading these stories and understanding them from through the eyes of empire, to flip that on its head and to deal with empire through the eyes of Jesus and how he understood life and the invitation that he issued to every one of us. And once again, in my morning meditation, I came across a little snippet on October 12th, which for a long time has been celebrated in this country as Columbus Day, right? Well, here it is, folks. It's from that book I've mentioned before, Common Prayer, Liturgy for Regular Radicals. And it said this on October 12th. In 1492, the indigenous peoples of the Americas discovered Christopher Columbus. And here's the mantra that is attached to that little insight, and it goes like this. Born to sin, we inherit stolen land. Heal us with justice from your hand. Woo! Now there's a challenge, not just as individuals, you know, recognizing the things that trip us up and keep us from experiencing the presence and the power of God in the world. There are things that do that on a much bigger level, are there not? So, I would hazard to say that if you and I want an example of what it looks like to live in the presence of God, we need look no further than our own Betty Bianchi. What do you say? And give it up for her family, too. The whole family is back there. Look at, wave the family. Hey, yay, the family. Take a nice deep breath.